93.7.
I'm not here to scare people. I'm here to inform and also to let people begin to plan, because they're going to see these impacts in their daily lives. Please don't yell at the customs officer or the TSO officer, because the lines are long. The lines over the next few weeks are going to start to lengthen in some dramatic ways in parts of the country.
So pack your patience, in other words. Thanks, Janet Napolitano, in charge of Homeland Security. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Big shout out to all of you in those nooks and crannies. Maybe in your neck of the woods, you won't be affected by some long lines, but I have a feeling a lot of people listening to my voice will be affected by it. This is just another day in the life of a middle-class American, isn't it? We hear that, oh, we're going to try to get something done a year and a half ago. Actually, go back to 2011. Here we are, 2013, and you have the cabinet secretaries rallying around the president and issuing these doom and gloom, dire warnings about get ready. Make sure you have a raincoat on and your galoshes, because it is going to rain down something fierce on all of us. And we're talking about $85 billion in cuts, part of the sequester. They'll kick in March 1st. It'll be $1.2 trillion over 10 years. If it was the series of automatic across-the-board cuts, they would be split 50-50 between defense and domestic discretionary spending. And you shake your head and say, well, what is domestic discretionary spending? Even they don't know. That's why it's called discretionary spending. I know this, that this has gone back to 2 years ago, and it started with the standoff over the U.S. debt ceiling, when there was the demand for spending cuts in exchange for the room to pay the money that was owed to the backers, the bondholders, so to speak. So, okay, so that deal's cut. Congress and the administration agrees to $2 trillion in cuts. About $1 trillion was laid out in the debt ceiling bill. The rest was through a sequester. It was kind of one of those, some would call it a fiscal doomsday device. In other words, like you have the henchmen standing there ready to lop off one program, then another program, then another program, then another program. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous because the super committee was the lame committee. They didn't find a way to cherry pick and be less painful. So that happened back in November of 2011. So this is what we get. The craziness, the chaos, the bipolarness of random cuts. Thank you very much to the people that we have elected. And then you have the president smashing the people that are supposed to come up with the alternative to the budget cuts, but he's the one that laid this out in the first place. Okay, so here's my super committee. My Democrats, my Republicans, they can't come up with something, then this is automatic. So everybody knew this was happening. Now everybody's squawking about it. We have 3 days left. Is anything going to change? Probably not. Probably not. I mean, the president agreed to the sequester when he signed the debt ceiling bargain into law. So isn't this what happens, Mr. President? You signed the deal. Has everyone forgotten this? I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican or who you favor. How about a more sensible government, common sense? You can go back in the archives and you can find it. It's true. This is what he agreed to. They must think we're idiots and we don't remember, and we have no follow through in our brains. So $500 billion gets cut from the Defense Department and some other national security agencies, which is why Janet Napolitano is warning, TSA, TSA, don't jump on the agents. Don't blame them. It's not their fault. Just back off Jack and Jill. Leave them alone. Shut your mouths. Go through. It's like Disney World. We don't have a fast pass. Unless you're first class, then maybe you do. Otherwise, the rest of us, we're the cattle. And it is going to probably take longer in any of your major cities, maybe even some of your medium-sized cities. I bet it will take longer there, too. So Leon Panetta is saying that the $46 billion in spending cuts for 2013 would kill us as far as readiness for our military. And the longer the cuts keep going, the deeper it'll be to try to harder to get out of it to come up with the savings that's needed so the numbers don't add up. So I will say this again. All this doom and gloom, this was on the board. This was agreed to. This was laid out. The president set it up this way. He set it up that here's my super committee. They don't come up with something. Here's what we're agreeing to, this sequester, and here's how it's going to come down. So why is there all of a sudden all this pandemonium over what's going to happen on March 1st? Which, by the way, is a slow drip. Of course it's a slow drip. So it's not like, boom, everything is lopped off automatically. The president is pushing Congress to pass some kind of a short-term deal that puts off the cuts. Of course. Of course, let's put it off again, allowing a little bit of room to come up with a long-term deficit reduction plan. Are you kidding? Who comes up with a long-term plan in Washington? I haven't met anyone yet, at least not in the last four or five years. So the president says any deal would should include more revenue from some tax breaks, and there's already been tax increases thrown into this because of the fiscal cliff deal. So what do you think, America? Do you have amnesia? Do you remember how this all came about in the first place? Of course you do. You heard it here, and you heard it on all the shows you listen to on the stations where you're listening to America Tonight. This is not a secret, the forced spending cuts. Is it going to affect some of us? Of course it's going to affect some of us. Already, if you travel, you know that. Averting it, how do we avert this? This was the way it was set up. So now we have cuts. Now we're talking about let's try to come up with some tax hikes. Forget it. Are we going to dish in even more money? If you want to throw in your 2 cents this hour of America Tonight, you can do it. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. As I always say, belly up if you have an opinion. We want to hear it. 855-266-5283. Also coming up in this hour, in fact, coming up next, we're going to talk about medical billing and the fact that you have doctors who say one-third of their time is spent doing paperwork, which is probably why if you've gone to a doctor lately, and I've gone to a doctor lately, I have a nice one, but sometimes you see their attending physician. You don't even see the doctor, and the reason for that is maybe because he's doing paperwork, and you have to be kidding me. Shouldn't the physician have other people that can do the paperwork? Is this a result of Obamacare, the Affordable Health Care Act that was supposed to afford us better health care? We'll find out next here on America Tonight.
Preparedness is simple when you have the right stuff. And with the looming threat of economic collapse and possible service interruption, it's time to get the best-in-class preparedness stuff at DisasterStuff.com. DisasterStuff.com has been serving smart preppers for over 15 years with quality products like Berkey water filters. DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. And as always, free shipping on all Berkey products. Stock up on water barrels and accessories. Get Country Living or Wonder Mill grain mills, Excalibur food dehydrators, Tatler reusable canning lids, Sun Oven solar cookers, EMP bags to protect sensitive electronics, and don't be without your Life Straw personal water filter, all from DisasterStuff.com. Preparedness is simple with the right stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, February 25th, 2013. Gold opened this morning at $15.89.80. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $16.29.76, $8.14.88 for a half ounce, or $407.44 for a quarter ounce. That's $16.29.76, $8.14.88, and $407.44.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, TerraGanix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
But he's buried under paperwork. Zahid Khalid, he is going to talk to us about mountains of paperwork. How often do I complain about this, that one of the big problems that we are having when it comes to patients, being a patient, and getting answers and things back from doctor's offices and all that kind of stuff, part of the problem is the mountains, the reams of paperwork that we're all buried under. Zahid, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight. He's with Great Lakes Medical Billing, so he knows all about this. How it really has become crazy how much paperwork there is when you go to file things, isn't it true?
First of all, okay, thank you very much for having me on the show. It's my pleasure. You're absolutely right. The problem is bad to begin with, and it's not going to get any better as far as I can see it. But I think my approach to that, and I, when we talk to our clients, my advice also is that the main thing physicians want to do is they want to focus on what they love and not try to focus so much on the paperwork itself, because it's really going back to your core competence, as we like to say in business. And that part is what we do is we become the isolation layer between the physicians. So no matter how bad the paperwork gets, you have to find specialists, just like the physicians themselves are specialists at what they do. They are the ones that really succeed in the private practice in particular, and they don't have to make the compromises that they don't want to make, is when they use trusted experts that can become between them and the paperwork that you're talking about. So, no, the problem's not going to go away, but what are you going to do about it? Because nobody can change that problem single-handedly directly, but there are ways to insulate yourself from it. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, there was a New York Times article that talked about doctors spending a third of their day on paperwork. That is unbelievable. It's true, huh?
Well, Kate, that is you know, that you just brought up an excellent point. This is something that when I talk to our clients here's the number. I like to dollarize everything, because this is what we do, and what we like to do is say that we are focused on the business of healing. So physicians like to heal. We like to put the focus on the business end of it. And here's a number. If physician's time, an average physician's time, a specialist's time, is $400 per hour. So when you multiply that by the number of hours each week spent on administrative non-patient encounter time, that is a very, very big number. So not only is it something that they don't enjoy, but they're also impacting their practice in a very serious way financially. And
yeah.
There is really no compelling reason to have to deal with that for the physicians. Thank God that we're in a place with the technology that we have and with the specializations like ours that we have, that is a viable, very compelling option that the physicians must take advantage of, especially in light of the changes that are coming with the new ad legislation that has been acted. It's going to cut down on revenues for the physicians. But, you know, really, it's a matter of, in any kind of business, and there is a business side to every practice, is that you take the facts, you find the best solution, and you don't panic and don't run and don't throw in the towel.
Yeah, that's some good advice for anybody listening in this segment of It's Your Business. Don't throw in the towel. Don't panic. So you see it because in medical billing, you're seeing it because you're taking all of that away. You're trying to take that all away from doctors and allow them to focus on the medicine that they want to practice because they don't want to be paper pushers. So that's the idea. So certainly for your business, it couldn't be more timely. Is, you know, the more people you get in the mix, the better for those physicians so they can do what they do. And I would imagine that you're seeing probably, I don't know this, but are you seeing an uptick in even in the amount of business coming your way because of that? Because they're starting to realize I gotta ship this out.
Well, there's that's a very sensitive point and also a very important one. And what I like to say about that is that there's a mix. There's an influx and there's an outflux. The people that are panicking, that's the outflux. So what's happening there is that physicians are saying, I'm just going to go forget about the practice. I'm just going to go sign up at the hospital. And that is not a pretty picture, frankly, because the physicians are very independent, and they have to be because no one pediatrician practices their specialty the same exact way as another pediatrician, although it's exactly the same practice. But the way they see medicine, the way they take care of the patient is different. So when you go to a hospital, typically, you're basically given a menu. You're going to do this, this, and that because it's all about bottom line. So you're giving that up. You really are, in some cases. I question if you're following your Hippocratic Oath. So that's a tough pill to swallow. But the other thing I want to point out is that physicians, unfortunately, there's in this industry, there are a lot of people that are not sophisticated billing companies. And they don't do the right thing. So what is the right thing? We advise all our physicians on not billing is just the basics. What we do is we provide financial and business consulting. How do you maximize the revenue in an ethical way, which means if you use procedure code A versus B, one maximizes revenue, one does not. We bring that to our clients. We educate them. And as far as this whole phenomenon that's taking place right now, that is where people are thinking, or physicians are thinking, that my only option is to forget about retirement and hope the hospital gives me a good salary and a good retirement plan, which they don't, by the way. That is really not the best way to go. That really isn't, and that is not the only option.
Yeah, it's interesting too with the advent of what's happening with computers and, you know, all of the take on what to do with medical histories and pulling all that together. And I would imagine that's part of what you do, right? Document collation, putting it all together, right? And how does that work? So do you have a couple of different copies, or you copy it off, or what do you do to shrink all that and decrease that time and all those documents?
Oh, you asked an excellent question. But here's what we do. We pride ourselves on being a paperless environment. Mm. And when our clients come on board, they are thrilled with the benefits. And frankly, if we can free up some time for the physician, they can, in the evening, enjoy more time with their family or go to another conference or, just relax maybe even or have more time for encounters. That's what we do because we basically eliminate paper to the extent possible. Some entities, especially on the government side, they have to have paper, but they're moving away from that as well. All we do is digitize from patient records. It's completely secure. And so that's what we do. In terms of the sophistication level that we have, really, it's I would like to point out one thing. For example, a lot of physicians are not taking advantage, unfortunately, of electronic medical records technology.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is that it is cost and effort prohibitive. So what we do is when we sign on a new client, We give them an iPad and an EMR software free as part of our service. We do not charge for that because there's benefit to our patient. I mean, sorry, our client, and there's benefit to us. And it works beautifully. But not everybody's capable of doing that. We have strategic partnerships that allow us to do that and enable us to do that. And it's a huge benefit.
Yeah, well, I can imagine. You know, Zahid, when you look at all of this and you look at healthcare reform, it seems like it's made it much worse. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever. Forget the politics. It seems as though this healthcare reform really hasn't helped very much. It seems like it's made it worse and there's more paperwork. Is that accurate?
Well, it's actually, I think paperless, or the question of paper is the least of the problem. Is actually going in a direction, in my observation and my study, that it is not going to necessarily create, this kind of work actually is intended to reduce paperwork. The problem is, it's also going to dumb down the whole industry. And when you start telling physicians how to practice their medicine, you have done something terribly wrong, in my opinion. And I don't think there's anybody that will disagree with that. And the other element is that we're looking at devastating serious, significant segments for our industry if things don't change. And I don't believe that it's going to go down as it looks to be going. And what I mean by that is that if you think about the impact to the economy of private insurance companies ceasing to exist, I don't think anybody has calculated the cost of that. But it's not an experiment that's going to succeed for the long term. I think if there are so many people impacted by that, the way medicine is practiced and delivered, which involves physicians, which involves patients, of course. I don't think it's a viable thing that's going to stick around, in my opinion. Now, that may be a bold statement, but then again, that's just me. It doesn't make sense. Unfortunately, right now, we are all in this together. And the one thing that if I could say one thing to anybody that has a private practice and listening is, do not panic and react and run off. There are options. I would love to talk to anybody that wants to talk further about this because they are viable options. It is going to be a rough ride, but I see the light at the end of the tunnel.
All right, Zahid, good luck. We need to get away from the business. These doctors need to get away from the business of 6 hours of paperwork a day or every other day or whatever. That's crazy. I myself don't like paperwork, and I'm not a physician. So I can only imagine if I had patients what that would be like. Wow. Thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Well, my pleasure, Dave. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Okay, Dave.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
To have a fighting chance against cold and flu bugs, get the world's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. Fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi with Allicin Plus C. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allicin Plus C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allicin Plus C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allicin Plus C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allicin Plus C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. To order, call 855-ALLICIN. That's 855-255-4246. Or go to AllicinPlus.com, spelled AllicinPlus.com. Get Allicin Plus C from Affinity Health Products.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. Or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic. And as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver. UtopiaSilver.com or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com. Taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Stay home and man up. House Speaker John Boehner especially is having none of it, talking about the $85 billion across-the-board spending cuts for the sequester that'll kick in on March 1st. But these are the spending cuts. This is the sequester that the president himself put in play. So how do you like it now? That's what I would say, and I don't understand why people are forgetting that. Part of what we're talking about coming up in many of the emails we got is we're going to go to the mailbag in a few, and we do invite you to call 855-266-5283 is exactly that, the budget cuts, and the fact that we're getting closer now to possibly more conversation about guns. A bipartisan group of senators kind of closing ranks, coming in on an argument to expand background checks for people buying guns. Is this fair or foul? This is all on the heels of what happened in Newtown, Connecticut. As we get further and further away, I think less will happen. Honestly, I don't think most of the gun control discussion, what's been discussed as possibilities, is really going to actually be voted in. I don't think so. I don't see it. Maybe the background checks, maybe, but I don't think any of the other stuff, including the so-called, and it's so-called, because the definition of assault weapons, you really got to dig deep for that one. I don't think that that's going to happen. Let's go to Tomas, who's listening to us first, though, before we head to the mailroom in Michigan. Hey, Tomas.
Hey, you know, I had something really interesting happen Saturday. I met with the governor of Michigan. Governor Snyder.
You did?
Yeah. I was a delegate to the Republican convention, and there was a really close race for chairman of the Republican Party. So you know, it was like those movies you see where, you know, they gather you up, and then, you know, they take you to, like, you know, this back room, and then you walk through this hallway, and then you see Secret Service men there, like in the entrance to the kitchen, and you like walk through the kitchen. It was crazy, you know. And then all of a sudden, we're in a room with the governor. You know, we were just there were like six of us, you know, and we were joking. They're going to kill us now, man.
That's right. They don't like what we're having to say, so they're going to pummel us right here.
Right, but the reason I'm bringing this up is because it has to do with this whole budget thing, because most of us were for a more conservative guy, you know?
Right.
The first thing the governor said was, look, the chairman that I have now knows how to raise money. This new guy, he does not have any experience in raising money, you know? And it hit us. It was all about the money. And this guy that he wanted, you know, he had, like, you know, cheerleaders, and they were giving away, like, pens and hats and shirts and everything, you know. And the other guy, nothing, you know. He just had a superior message, a superior product, you know. But it just hit me now that the politicians, it's all about the money, you know. And then we have a person called Rand Paul, who last year gave back $500,000. Mm-hmm. This year he gives back $600,000. He is not just talking the talk. He is walking the walk. And you know, what is the Republican Party doing? They're trying to blame Obama for the sequester. When they, mm-hmm. they're the ones, you know, it doesn't matter who comes up with the idea if you end up voting for it.
True, because they're the legislative body and they did vote for it. But I still say the president, though, he's not saying that. What the president has done is this was his concoction, and you're right, they voted on it. But he came up with the idea of the committee, which, you know, and that failed miserably, which we knew it was.
Yeah, well,
you put super in front of committee, it's going to fail. But that happened a long time ago.
But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, the Republicans, the veteran Republicans knew this. They knew that the committee was going to fail.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they knew they would just push the can down the road.
Right.
And you know, instead of getting behind somebody who wants to cut, really cut. Like you said, you had an awesome monologue, man, early when you said this is just like $40 billion this year. You know, it's just like spend that on a tank or something, and you know. I mean, we're printing $85 billion a month, and
right.
They're worried about, you know, $120 billion in an entire year. So it's both sides are all about the money. They will not.
Yes.
They don't air. Their air that they breathe is money, apparently. And there are just a very few of them, Rand Paul and maybe a few others out there, who are trying to break that addiction, I guess you could say, from both parties. They just will not give up the money. Just like you said, even the Defense Department, of course, they gotta toe the line, you know. But you know, they're screaming, "Oh, we're not going to have the national security. Oh my God!" But they're going to have more money next year than this year, even with the cuts, right?
Right. You're right. Yeah.
Well, anyway, I wanted to share that with you because I did meet with him. I mean, the first thing I told him was, "Hey, I love you, man." I kind of scared him because I came up right, you know, gave him one of them little fist pounds and everything like that. Really, you know. And I said, "I love you, man. You're really kicking ass," you know. His eyes lit up, you know. But,
right.
You know.
You got a glimpse, though. You got a glimpse into what happened, so that was good.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's from the Belly of the Beast reporting, Tomas from Michigan.
Thanks, Tomas. You have a good one. Belly of the Beast. That's digging up some old stuff. All right, so let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Some interesting music in there. I like that. All right, this one comes to us from Bill in Iowa, and Bill says, "Kate, have you taken note of the fact that the Gulf Coast oil trial has just started? I'm talking about the spill, the whole BP thing. I can remember when you were in Mississippi. What do you think's going to happen here?" Well, I wish I had my crystal ball because BP would like to get a glimpse into it as well. yes, this trial will be interesting to watch. It's in New Orleans. I mean, this is like the most Armani suits they've seen within a block range in I don't know how long. It's ridiculous how lawyered up the place is. So you've got a government involved in here. You've got business involved, contractors, all kinds of people. And the idea is, BP, we want the money. We want the money from you, so prove your case that we shouldn't get it. And we're talking about the fact that they're arguing that BP is guilty of gross negligence. That's the specifics. That's what the legal wrangling is over, that caused the 2010 disaster that killed the 11 people on the rig. Remember that. People always forget about it. And poured what they care about, the 4 million barrels of oil into the Gulf of Mexico. You see BP really pushing hard. You knew the trial was getting set to get underway. Pushing hard with the comeback to the Gulf Coast, Mississippi, Florida, Alabama, and talking about how people are coming back for the shrimp, for this, for that, and it's all good, and how much money BP has pumped in to the economy and the cleanup and all that kind of stuff. So they certainly don't want to lose this one. The company's paid $37 billion in the cleanup and the fines and the settlement. It's likely that they're going to settle before there is ever any kind of a courtroom deal here, before any verdict happens. It doesn't make any sense. BP is just trying to all they're doing here is they're just trying to play the game of how much are we going to have to not pay? What ultimately are we going to do here? You know, they're trying to say, and they'll have to see how far they get with this, that, hey, don't just blame it on us. What about the people who had the rig? What about the people who had the cement? What about the people called Halliburton? They're all part of this too. How come they're not having to pay? Let's put them in this suit. That's the deal. But I don't think it's going to work. I think they're going to have to, with the 5 Gulf states, I think what's going to happen for the lawyers that are there for the different businesses and stuff, and the list is very long for the loss of money. I think they're going to try to make a settlement for sure. I agree. It does not see a verdict because it's not in BP's best interest unless something happens in the courtroom that changes it, meaning that the blame is also shifted onto some other people connected with the rig itself, because then they wouldn't have to pay quite as much. That would be my guess. All right, here's another one from Valentine, who says, Kate, I am just so sick of, as you call it, the Texas two-step only Potomac style in Washington. You know, I really don't care about these politicians anymore. I understand when you jump up on the big stage and you talk about how much we're being overtaxed or how ridiculous it is that we can't come to agreements on things. But the bottom line is you're just wasting your breath. The people that we have elected for the most part are incapable of meeting deadlines, coming up with budgets, and really figuring out how to run our economy, our government, and these United States. Yeah, you know what? Here's the thing. What do we want in life? We want a shot at it, right? We want the opportunity, the good jobs, the decent living somewhere, a decent home, being able to put kids through school, that kind of stuff. And that's what we want. We want a better America, not a worse America. So I'd agree. There's a lot of people we could replace in Washington, but that still is the same old song. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment food basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
It's an MRE smorgasbord at LongLifeFood.com. In 1983, Long Life Food Depot was one of the first to sell MRE pouches to the public, and we're still selling them almost 30 years later. Today, Long Life Food Depot has the world's most complete MRE online buffet, because MREs are all we do. Tasty varieties of chicken, beef, salmon, and pasta entrees, plus sandwiches and our easy-to-use pouches. Full moisture, long shelf life, and ready to eat hot or cold. We sell by the pouch or case, so the choices are endless, and so are the graduated quantity discounts. The more you buy, the more you save. Call 800-601-2833 or go to longlifefood.com to join our email list for upcoming announcements like the Rollaway Food Pod. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping. Just call 800-601-2833 or visit longlifefood.com. Emergency preparedness, emergency relief. Longlifefood.com since 1983, sending real food to your real future.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
That's where we start for We Can Count. Nepalese mountaineer Chichurum entered the record book by scaling Mount Everest twice in the same climbing season. That's amazing. Close your eyes for a second and think that you right now are climbing Mount Everest. Can you see it? Do you feel it? No. No way, no how am I climbing Mount Everest. Anyone who can do it, bravo to you. So Guinness World Records say she's the first woman to climb the world's highest mountain twice in the same season. There was a brief window of good weather that happens pretty much every year, so the climber scrambled to get there to reach the summit, and she did it. She got the certificate and everything. She's 29 years old. So this is what she did, so you know. Because if I just say scaling Mount Everest, well, what does that mean to you? Do you know that that means she scaled 29,035 feet. That's the summit. It's 29,035 foot. That's the summit. She did that back in May of last year. She descended to the base camp for a couple of days rest, then scaled the peak again a week later. Now, she is a Sherpa, so she gets this. She lives it. She breathes it. I said she was Nepalese, so she's from the area. But still very difficult to do. Very few women have even climbed the summit. Very few have done it. So she's done it twice. Good for her. Very scary. 4,000 people. How many people? Everest has been climbed by, you ready for this? 4,000 people since 1910. 53. Does that seem like a lot, or does it seem like a little bit? It seems like a little bit to me because it's that hard. Spring is popular. Of course, it's winter. Forget about it. Because you've got, what, low oxygen anyway, and training is tough and all that kind of stuff. So just that short amount of time where you could possibly get in there to do it in the first place. So, woohoo! Congratulations. I think it's just that tough. And again, if I close my eyes, I will never see myself climbing Mount Everest. No way, no how. I did do the Grand Canyon in one day. In one day I did it, and I don't know how. It was crazy. It took 10 hours, and I got the T-shirt. I was done after that. I was done for 2 days. It was so brutal with all the switchbacks. For anyone who hikes, you know exactly what I'm talking about. All right, let's talk about the sequester in terms of small, teeny-weeny airports. Check this out. You know, there's lots of tiny airfields. You've got your big major hubs, our biggest airport in Atlanta. Dallas is another big one. Chicago, the New York airports, Los Angeles, San Francisco, blah, blah, blah. And there's so many airports, really. There's an app. It's a flight app. If you click on it, you can see planes flying at all hours of the night. It's very scary because they look like we're pushing tin and they're going to crash into each other. But here's the bottom line. The tiny, tiny ones I'm talking about, what happens is nobody's even really flying out of them in some cases, and they're still able to get $150,000 in money from the government every year. So there is, I just read about this, there is an airport. It's called Lake Murray State Park Airport. And they get this money from the government. They get this money from the government. And even Senator Tom Coburn from Oklahoma says this is a waste, this tiny airport getting this money. Why are we giving these people this money? It is a stupid, irresponsible thing to do. There are about 80 small airports in the nation, and many of them are getting that money. Then we wonder why we don't have a balanced budget. How do they allot this kind of stuff? Does anybody check anything out? Now, of course, if I'm running Lake Murray, the government's giving you money. So as somebody actually spelled it out, the Washington Post, I think, did a story on it at one point, that would mean for this airport, it's about $1,500 per takeoff and landing. What? No. This is a sad story, so I'm sorry if you don't want to hear it, cover your ears for a second. It's about a couple that vanished during a cycling trip in Peru. They're saying they're searching for this California couple. They've been missing, and they were warned of the kidnapping risks in going there. When I took the show to Ecuador a few years ago, that was a heavy warning. We weren't worried about it. There were people around us. We were going for a good cause. But it did give you pause to think for a second, and certainly in Peru. So families of the couple, Garrett Hand and Jamie Neal, that's the couple's name, they heard from them last on January 25th. They were expected to arrive in Lima after a journey of several hundred miles from Cusco, and it's a very mountainous area. Nobody has heard from them. They were, they were longtime friends. They're 25 years old. They started dating, and they decided to go on this bicycling trek, and unfortunately, they did it in another country, where they were warned about the possibility of potential kidnaps near Machu Picchu and some other areas in Peru. You know what? I don't blame these kids. Good for them. They wanted to explore. Except for that, can we not explore in other areas other than places where they flat out tell you there is a very good chance you could be kidnapped? What part of that don't people understand? I feel so awful for their families, because what are they doing? They're collecting money. They're trying to offer a reward. They're getting flyers with pictures. Now the family is flying down to Peru and having to try to talk to people and hiring people to go and look for them. And I fear they're not going to have a happy ending on this one, although I certainly wish them well and don't wish for that to happen. But why you go somewhere when you get those warnings? Listen, we might all want less government. I don't want this big burgeoning beast that we have because we're just wasting money. But the one thing you can do, and you can probably feel like it's pretty good information, you go to the State Department website and you look at places that it's not safe to go, where there is a chance you could be kidnapped or they're looking for Americans, you might really want to consider not doing it, especially on a bicycle. Especially on a bicycle. All right, this is creepy. When you go to IKEA, which I don't go there anymore, no offense to IKEA, but you're building furniture from backwards directions, so I don't get it. Unless you pick it off the showroom floor, which you're not supposed to do. I had a chance to do that once because the light was out of stock, so I thought, oh, thank goodness, it's already put together. I don't have to worry about it. But IKEA is famous for their meatballs. People go in and they eat the free food, which means the meatballs, the Swedish meatballs. Turns out they're horse meatballs, not in the United States that we know of, but in Europe. The Swedish meatballs sold in IKEA were pulled from freezers and cafeterias in 14 European countries after they tested some samples in the Czech Republic and found out that horse meat was in the packages. So they're taking them all out in Sweden and Hungary, Britain, France, Netherlands, Portugal, Italy, Spain, Greece, Cyprus, all that kind of stuff. Ireland, boy, Ireland. You know, how many horses are people eating in Ireland? This and then the last thing that they just had happen. So they say that about 1,600 pounds of meatballs have been stopped from reaching stores. Somebody decided to use horse meat. So who's profiting from this? You know, and who decides what horses are safe to eat? I mean, are you kidding me? Oh, that's so disconcerting, isn't it? Although they feel a little bit differently about it in Europe, but they're not psyched about it. That's why they pulled it all. And who's making the money off it? That was my question. There had to be somebody making some money. You can be certain of that. Any thoughts on the show? Send them to me, americatonight.net.
Oh, just a minute. We are being reduced to reading emails from some jerk like we're in a choir or something. That is absolutely ridiculous to be reading emails from jerks. I resent it.
Don't throw away leftovers. Instead, throw all your leftovers, vegetable peels, eggshells, coffee grounds, pizza crusts, and more into the Bokashi. If you love to garden and compost but don't like the hassle of turning a compost bin or the smell, then check out the EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics. Finally, a way to recycle all your food and plant waste safely and effectively and stop using fertilizers. The EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System. Rather than decomposition, the Bokashi system uses fermentation to break down waste, so it takes less time to create nutrient-dense humus for crops or gardens with no turning and no obnoxious odors. To learn more and order your Bokashi online, visit Terraganics.com and click on the orange button. That's Terraganics.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Recycle all your food wastes in about 6 weeks with the Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics.com. Terraganics, life's getting better.